Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we continue our study on Jesus of the Gospels, his teaching, especially his teaching on religiosity. The new morality that is being presented in the Sermon on the Mount is continued by the teaching on the new religiosity. We have seen the religious activities of almsgiving, prayer, and fasting were singled out in this sermon. And they are all termed together as righteousness or acts of piety, dikaiosune. And we have seen in detail how one should give alms and one should not give. The motivation and the mode of action that should be practiced in giving alms. Alms, elemosune, or deed of kindness and compassion, should be done in private, not to attract attention and not to bring down glory upon oneself, not to become glorious or glorified in front of others. Now, today we focus on the second aspect of this new religiosity, and that is prayer. How one should not pray and how one should pray. This is what Jesus teaches about prayer. The first part is on the prayer is the conditions of praying. How one should not and one how one should pray. Then in the second part, Jesus teaches a prayer. How to pray, what kind of prayer. So now we focus on the first part, and that is seen in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees the secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So this is the condition, how not to pray and how to pray. Prayer is the soul of the life of the soul, so to say, the soul of the being, human being. Without prayer, one cannot exist. It's a constant relationship with the source of our being. Any believer, whatever be his religion, whatever be the nature of the God he believes in, any believer will pray. And without prayer, no believer can live. And there are various types of prayer. The nature of God one depicts for himself will also dictate the nature of the prayer. There may be people who are afraid of God, and then the prayer will be of petitions, a sense of sinfulness, and various types of prayer. Whatever we, whether you believe or not, you'll be forced to pray sometime in your life, even non-believers. Even non-believers, when confronted with certain crucial situations, when your life is in danger, you are threatened, you are at the end of your energies, you are at the end of the rope, you have nowhere to go, all the doors are shut, then from the depth of the heart, they will come up this prayer, even unknowingly. Prayer is that which relates a person to the source of his being, to God. And there are various types of prayer. When we study Jesus' cautions about how not to pray, we should also know what was the type of prayer that was existing in Jesus' time. For example, there are various types of prayer. There is a prayer of the community, when people come together to pray. In temples, in mosques, in churches, everywhere, believers come together. Huge crowds gather sometimes. Hundreds of thousands of people come together to pray. They sing, they pray loud. This is a community prayer. Small prayer groups, prayer in the family, prayer in the churches, prayer in groups. These are all community prayers, various types of prayers. There you cannot be silent. When you come, thousands of people come together and say no word and sit there meditating. Of course, that is a prayer, but that's not a community prayer. When the community, they come together, they will sing and they will praise and they'll be loud. And there are various types of community prayers. And this is not what Jesus is saying, not to have a community prayer. He is focusing on the personal prayer. And as for the purpose of the prayer, there are various types of the nature of the prayer is concerned. Usually we speak about prayers as prayer of petition. We are praying to God to gain some blessing from Him, either for body or for soul, for oneself or for others. It could be personally for personal intentions, or it could be mediation for others, for health for the sick, or food for the hungry, whatever it is, various needs, all the needs of the human beings and of the entire world is being presented before God, and it's a prayer of petition. That is a very good prayer, and we pray, and mostly this is what prayer is. But still another prayer, even greater importance, is the prayer of thanksgiving. When we are aware that all what we are and what we have is a gift of God, then the first emotion that comes out of our hearts, from the depths of our hearts, is that of gratitude. I am not worthy, Lord. You have bestowed on me so much blessing. How can I thank you for all this? Without being worthy of all this, you have showered your love on me. You have poured out your spirit into my heart. You have given everything. You have called me into life. You have given me health. You have given me parents. You have given whatever I have is your gift. So when one becomes aware of this great gift of God, the prayer that comes out of the depth of the heart is a prayer of thanksgiving. Again, there is another type of prayer, prayer of praise. You look into the face of God, look into His heart, and see how great He is. Look around in the world. You see the heavens, the stars, and the moon, and the sun, and all the creatures around, the planets. And all the creatures, all these somehow proclaim the greatness of God. And each individual, each smallest creature, manifests God's glory and His care and concern. There is no creature, living or non-living, that is not enjoying God's love and care. Everything has been created by God out of His love. And in this creation, in these creatures, God's greatness is being manifested. His care for each of His creation. And there, the heart of the devotee is filled with amazement. How great are you, O Lord? You are the creator of the whole universe, the greatness of which we do not know. The macrocosm, the entire great universe, and the microcosm, the smallest atom, are so amazing that with all the knowledge, the human beings have not reached anywhere near fathoming the depth of this greatness of God's creation. So when one is filled with the amazement at God's greatness and glory, the prayer that comes out of his heart is a prayer of praise. There is also another type of prayer, prayer of repentance, asking for forgiveness. It is something a bit different from that of petition. We know, in spite of all our goodwill, we end up doing things what we do not want to. As Paul, in his letter to the Romans, chapter 7, describing the general situation of humanity, it's not the good that I want that I do, but the evil that I hate that I do not want that I do. If I am doing that which I do not want, then it is not I who am doing it. It is the sin that resides in me, forcing me to do it. Whatever he means by it, the fact remains that we end up doing things that are not good. We end up hating instead of loving. Loving oneself rather than others. And very often breaking the commandments of God, knowingly or even unknowingly. So when we look into our hearts, we know that we are sinners. We have not merited his love, but we have also rejected his love. We have turned our back against his face. So when man becomes aware of the sinfulness, there comes also a prayer. Prayer for forgiveness. So these are the various motivations of praying. We pray. And all types of prayer can be found in the Bible. And all these types of parts of prayer are also encouraged by the Bible. In Judaism, in Jesus' time, people used to pray. And they were very devout people. Maybe more than any other religious people, the Jews used to pray and pray even today. They had two types of normal prayer, daily prayers. The one prayer is called Shema Israel. So starts the prayer. And that is a prayer that comprises of three Bible passages. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verses 4 to 9. Deuteronomy 11 verses 13 to 21. And book of Numbers 15 verses 37 to 41. These three Bible passages are put together and this makes the Shema prayer. And the first one, I read just a few verses. Chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verses 4 to 9. Hear, O Israel, and that's where the word comes from, Shema Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children, and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So this is the first part of the Shema. And the short form of the Shema would be just this. So this prayer had to be said in the morning and in the evening. When in the morning? When is morning? The rabbis used to say, when you can distinguish green from blue, then it is morning. So from that time, you can start reciting the Shema, but not later than 9 o'clock in the morning. So before 9 o'clock from the daybreak, that is the first time. And then in the evening, before 9 o'clock, you have to pray again, the Shema prayer. Then you have the Shemone Esrei, the 18 blessings. The 18 blessings were usually the end of the synagogue services. Towards the end of the first century AD, a 19th blessing was added to it, and still the name remains Shemone Esrei, or 18 blessings. These are a collection of small prayers, prayer for Israel, prayer for the families, prayer for the aliens, for the sick, for the poor, various types of small prayers asking God's blessing. So these prayers also were to be said three times, 9 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock at noon, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So these are the three times they pray. And there is a limit of the time when this prayer should be said. And it can happen that a person was not able to pray this particular prayer before the fixed time. And it comes a time and you are in a public place and you are forced to pray this in public. But there are also other chances, Jesus would say, that a person who wanted to show that he is doing the religious duty perfectly, he would stand in the public and he makes it sure that he comes to that particular place at this hour and puts up his hand straight up and prays. So stretching out his hand, praying to God, the Shema prayer or the Shemone Esrei prayer. And by this, he is absolving a religious duty, but also catching attention. There were many times they pray. For example, 7 times a day, or morning, late at night, or during even midnight. In chapter, Psalm 119 speaks about all this. Psalm 119:47 speaks of the prayer in the morning, then at the night vigil, then verse 62 speaks about praying at midnight. Praying at home, praying in the temple, praying in synagogue, anywhere. But now, there was a tendency to make this prayer a public show, not a community prayer, but even the private prayer. Now, Jesus is calling attention to the private prayer, how one should pray. Not for public show, enter into your room, enter your heart. The room means the heart, the cave of your heart. It is in your heart that you find your God, not anywhere else. In the heart, the God who resides in your heart will listen to you. So it's a standing before God, you and your God alone. Stand alone before the alone. Stand alone before God and know that He is your Father. Look into His face, listen to Him, and tell Him whatever you have to. So it is a personal, secret prayer. And the one who hears in secret will answer you. So the first thing Jesus tells is, prayer should not be a show business. Prayer should not be made an occasion to show your piety off. The second, the way you pray. Jesus tells, avoid verbosity, being wordy in the prayer. So this should come from the conviction that you are praying to the Father who knows everything. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And He has not to be coaxed or forced to grant what you want. God will bless you. God will bless us. He will grant our prayers. So go to the Father with confidence and not become a nuisance by your prayer. Loud shouting, even with loudspeakers, making others think that you are praying or whatever it is. Prayer should be a relation between a dialogue, a listening, a talking to the Father, the Heavenly Father. The community prayers, of course, there will be loud prayers, singing hallelujah and giving thanks and asking prayers. But Jesus is focusing His attention and calling attention to the private, personal, individual prayer. Unless there is this private, individual dimension, the personal dimension to the prayer, the other prayers can become just a gesture, a habit, a mechanical routine. Any good prayer can be turned into a mechanical prayer. Even the most sacred Eucharistic prayer. So the Christians come together, especially the Catholics come together to celebrate the most beautiful prayer, the prayer of the Lord. Remembering, reenacting the sacrifice of Jesus with all the prayers with it. Beautiful prayer, but even this Eucharistic celebration can become just a mechanical routine. Your mind could be somewhere else even when you participate in the Mass. You might be singing but thinking of something else. The same happens with our daily prayers at home. And very often these daily prayers are even abandoned for the sake of watching some beautiful or interesting, entertaining TV programs. Now, even family prayers can become mechanical prayer. And this mechanical prayer doesn't help us at all. What is important is the heart. Our heart should be fixed on God. It's not exactly what we say that means. Of course, it means what we say. But more important than the words is the attitude of the heart. So stand before God or sit in His presence, knowing that you are in the presence of your loving Father. And a Father who knows your needs, a Father who loves you, and who is ready to grant all your needs even before you ask. So this is the attitude that Jesus is asking us when we pray. The next talk, we will focus on what Jesus taught to pray. But before that, let us conclude this meditation on prayer with a short prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to call you Father. We thank you for allowing us to come near you, sit by your side, and talk to you, and listen to you. We thank you for giving us a heart that can feel your love, that can be filled with your concern and care. We thank you for accepting us as your children. Enable us to understand your love. Enable us to pray as we ought to pray. Send us your Spirit and teach us to pray. This prayer we make through Christ our Lord. Amen.